Should we wait for a few?
Yes. Yeah. Sandhu,
this was very interesting. I just want to make a couple of points, a couple of comments and a question. The effect of this on medical field has been extremely powerful. The price of drugs has risen not only in US and Europe, but it has risen extremely fast in the rest of the world, in Asia and Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
In addition to the price of therapeutic drugs, this regime has led to a major shift of resources away from research on preventive medicine and vaccines.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it doesn't pay to prevent disease. It doesn't pay to keep people healthy. It pays to
cure people ill.
Chronic diseases. That's the other part. In our own field, it has resulted in a huge change in the publication regime, the intellectual property regime. Until a few years ago, Elsevier and others, publishers who tried to monopolize the scientific publication market, and started modifying their copyright transfer agreements. It used to be that you used to give them a 50-year copyright on printed version. And then each year I was getting modified copyright transfer agreements. And once they began to claim film rights to my research papers, I said, no, I was not about to give up film rights. And internet and all those more and more rights. And I started writing on those forms instead of transfer, I'll share it. And I get back letters from the lawyers of Elsevier threatening that they will not publish my paper. I said, go right ahead. And ultimately they back down. In fact, Elsevier has an alternative form. They will send it to you, in which you only license Elsevier, you share the publication, and Elsevier thus giving up any of the rights. And I have a paper on my website, and I hope more academics actually are aware of their rights. In any case, now I don't want to take too much time. The other comment I had was, it was very interesting, your very last point. While this has created these monopolies, the recent economic research, and I just had a PhD student who defend his thesis this week, it's also true that these monopolies, for the internal purposes, they find it better to do comparative licensing of their patent patents to outsiders.
Yeah.
Google finds that they can make more profit not to keep its technology for its own subsidiary exclusively and license the technology to a competitor who competes with Google's own subsidiary. And that is true generally, theoretically. So, all the news is not bad. And my question finally is, it has resulted in a huge expansion of research enterprise and the amount of resources going into research enterprise. While there are questions, serious questions about the expansion of business methods, mathematical algorithms, and university research. Gene 3, good or bad, from your tone, I got the sense that you're negative on it. But I did see that reasoning for that conclusion is that different.
One more question, 2, 3, okay, ready to the last. Thomas?
My question, comment is on the idea of corporate governance. We have in English only really one term. In French, there's actually three terms in common usage. Gouverner, gouvernance, et gouvernement. And I think that what we have here is actually three levels. And Mike and Jack's paper, I think, is looking at the governance from the perspective of management control, to a certain extent. And then we have the idea of corporate governance in the Anglo-Saxon world, and primarily in finance, where you're looking at the relationship between shareholders and managers in the agency period. And then, really, what Olivier and so forth are talking about is more gouvernance at the macro level of how does society govern corporations. I'm not sure that we're kind of mixing things back and forth a lot. I don't know whether these are three different things or really they're only one thing. But
Thomas and the
Firstly, a comment from Jackie's paper. In 1988, the OECD asked a group of employers to go beyond international governance and tower in the Asian Pacific and these guy in the French guy. And what they basically said in layman's terms is what we were saying here, that you know, government should be dynamic, it should be responsive, it's complex business. And the OECD just ignored that employer's advice and went ahead with its templated formalities, you know, once that's been so actually. The legacy is that governance is associated.
During the last AAA conference, we have been invited by many thinkers to talk about the future of AAA journals and the price and what is the privatization of these journals. And what we try to present the situation under as a new enclosure movement is that.
Public domain, yeah.
Yeah, so,
And
so we address the problem, for example, if we are developing research for example, a kind of therapy that has no marks, then we will not have money to do that. And we address many issues with this new system of intellectual property rights. And we said that maybe it is a new dark age. That we are reaching the new dark age with this intellectual property.
Let me just say a sentence in that. I just put all my papers published irrespective of what the publisher is saying.
You are a risk taker.
Nobody so far has done it. And I don't think they will. Even every year they can't change the past. And they realize
it. So please, a few minutes for any comments to dramatically
use. I'll go to the.
In the order of the presentation. So why did
you
start
first?
I'm going to
say one thing about
that. Yeah, first on that. It's true. Well, it's a difficult because, in fact, it's true that our topic is about knowledge-based firms. And it's true that what we can see is that for a long time, these companies relied on stock markets financing and venture capitalist financing because the amount that they could raise was higher than compared to banks, compared to what banks could give. But we know also that this has led into a big financial crisis, of course. So we are expecting banks to get into the picture again. But to some extent, this cannot be done without any regulation because there has been a lot of scandals related to the subprime crisis. And also in France, we have this Société Générale scandal where the president has provided a document where he has defined the principles of good governance. So we have some difficulties, and still we don't have the adequate timing to see exactly how banks could get into the picture again. But I think that both of them are complementary. Stock market and bank system are complementary to finance any innovative activity, of course.
Could I make one comment about banks? I also think it's a very, very difficult question because I actually think that the regulation of banks depends on your own traditions and your own history. And I think that the way that the banks should or might be regulated in the UK is going to be different from the US, which would be different from Germany, or different from France. But I want to give just one small story about the UK. A little while ago, there was a UK medium-sized bank called Northern Rock that got embroiled in the subprime problems. And basically, the chief executive of Northern Rock was, I don't know, a maverick, the easiest way to explain it. And this company went bankrupt, but the state bought it out, you know, to protect the depositors. But the UK House of Commons Treasury Committee investigated this. And what this is the interesting bit to do with your question. What the investigating committee said was that the UK banking regulatory authorities were basically incompetent. And they were completely passive in this exercise. And what he said was that anybody with the sufficient background in banking could have predicted what was going to happen to Northern Rock. So why didn't the regulatory authorities predict it and do something before it happened? And I actually think that is a big, big challenge for an economy like the UK that emphasises sort of market-based governance systems. Yeah, I'm not going to answer your question, but I actually think that's a big, big challenge in market-based economies. Yeah. In terms of governance definitions, I completely agree with you, by the way. Not disagree, I completely agree with you. Just actually accepting something like, in new institutional economics, the word governance, as in governance structure, can operate at least three different levels, which may actually correspond to the French the French complexity. You can have micro governance in terms of what happens inside firms. You can have micro governance in terms of the governance of the units, and then you can have macro governance, as in terms of the institutional structures. And so I completely agree with you, and because of that complexity, I ignored a definition. And I just accepted that we all knew basically what governance was. And also, I actually think governance. So you've got at least six different ways that you could define governance in principle.
Yeah, so. Yeah, also add that I think also that we are talking about governance with the meaning that we are dealing with the relationship between shareholder and managers. But what we show also is that all the stakeholders are very important in these systems, and especially in a knowledge-based economy, because all the stakeholders, all the employees that are working in a knowledge-based economy have a say in a strategy. So I think that the entry point is, of course, the relation between investors and managers, but also has to include all the stakeholders, all the employees especially.
Thank you very much. Oui, je vais commencer. I'll begin and Olivier will complete. Well, basically, 3 points shortly. First, the impact on drugs. It happened that I am running a large program in third world countries, especially as regards AIDS and tree therapies and so on. Just to give a number, one number, in the early, in the beginning of the century, okay, the cost of a heart tree therapy, of combination of tree antiretrovirals, the cost by the patented firms was 14 $1,000 the dose, the annual dose. The same year, the Indian firms, especially Cipla, was able to sell on the market, delivered to the consumer, the same composition for $143. This gives an idea of the rent taken by the pharma companies. Yes, of course, in the case of Cipla, you don't have the cost of research. But you have the cost of bioequivalence and so on. But when you see the difference, you understand the damage in terms of social welfare. I'm not against paying the cost of research, of course, but the cost is not 100 times, the cost of the manufacturing. This is just one data. We can give a lot of them. Second, the rational. Yes, I think that the system is damaging the welfare. What is the rationale for that? The economic rationale, because you ask for the economic rationale for that. Two types of arguments. The first one is innovation boosted by this system? Because at the end, the question of intellectual property rights, the social ground for that is to boost innovation. Okay? Bon. When you see the difference in terms of costs, this is one element. You can, these rents are conducive to welfare. But there is another point that can be made. If you consider the social efficiency of the system as a whole, that is to say, biotech firms specialized in research, IPRs on genes and so on, okay? And the general productivity of the pharma industry, you have more and more money put on the system for less and less new drugs. And there is a general crisis of productivity of the system. And I think it has to do with the way it is socially organized, and it has to do with the new extension given to the intellectual property rights. The system, the system of producing new drugs is more and more costly and less productive. And there is something behind, Well, we can go in this direction. Bon, just third point, public domain and a new enclosure movement and so on. Well, I don't know if we are entering into a period, because this is a very strong world, but I am sure that we have gone too far in the direction of giving intellectual property to anything, you know. And some court rulings and some policy advisors at very high level, national academic science and so on, are saying it very clearly that we have gone too far and we need to put the point of equilibrium backward. So even if we if we don't go as far as you go in your statement, there is a general agreement of, let's say, the reasonable people and the community that we have gone too far and we need to have. This is my view.
Just few comments. More generally, of the global effect on welfare of the intellectual property systems. Well, it seems clear, at least as Benjamin explained, in some domains the results are negative. I think it's clear. Overall, maybe it's more complicated. I think there are real research questions on that point. The problem we have, is that the new system we have, including intellectual property, but also what I speak of, all the transformation of the educational system and the university system, what will be the effects of the orientation of research and innovations? It's not just more or less innovation, which is very difficult, which one question. What will be the effects? It seems clear that the effects will be are important. But we have, I think, to mock a lot, to have a very precise assessment of what is happening. But what I see when I read something, in many fields, there is a feeling that there is some form of crisis of research. I read a book recently on the research in theoretical physics. There is some form of crisis of research, in fundamental research, which has to do with the way now the whole system the function is managed. And what you say about the question of the condition of publication is very important. It's very important. There are also very important transformations in the whole system of publication, of scientific publications, which has also very important effect about the diffusion of knowledge, more particularly. It's also really a key issue. And it has to do also with the transformation. I read recently a very interesting small book by a woman who was in charge of the Harvard University Press. Yeah. It's very critical. It's very critical about the overall transformation of the publication systems, academic systems.
And we go further for 5 minutes or 10.
No, we are running late. I only want to say that 2 weeks ago, Harvard went to open access, so they now put everything out there, and of course they claim leadership.
It's good.
The reason I raised that issue about evidence is not, I basically agree with you. And I tell you, my sense is that the US academia at least, there's a very broad consensus that agrees with you that we have gone too far. And I believe the current Patent Act being pending in the Congress, being awaited, makes some move, perhaps not as far as it should go, in this direction, and adducing evidence with respect to that point that it has gone too far with certainly the useful. But I want to go back to this issue, but there's another aspect of this. A great deal of basic research or applied research today cannot really be done by the individuals in the car shed anymore. Individuals cannot develop Airbus or microchips. They require huge investments of money. And the question then is, what is the alternative to operant research? And while we agree on these negative consequences of corporatization of this research, is the alternative not to do that research? Is that better from a medical standpoint? Or do we have some possibilities of modifying the system where research is being done by corporations and they will have incentives to do it for right? What is your position on that? Because given the scale of technology, what could be done in the 1850s by individuals devising a new car cannot be done today by individual scientists.
Just two comments on the idea that we have gone too far and what can be done. I will not speak of what I would propose. I will stay on the ground of evidence. One indication are beginning to change is that the NIH, which was the first to apply for patent for genes, for sequences of genes in the early 80s, the first. It was something incredible in the international community that the NIH, one of the leader in research in biomedicine, applied for a patent for sequences of genes in the early 80s, opening the ground for that, you know, for the others. Now, on the contrary, the NIH puts as a condition to benefit from its funding for the researchers to put their research in the public domain. So this is a big change. And this is an indication that authorities, NIH, have changed their views. Okay? This is a very important point. I wanted to say something else. No, I wanted to say something else. Well, I pass. It will come back, I hope. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. No. This is for lunch. Okay, but just for lunch. The point is, on the contrary, you can't consider these issues without a little bit of political economy. And my guess, my conviction is that if you don't put online with this the question of the difficulties of the competitiveness of the American industry and the need to create rents for the innovative industries, then you understand nothing. So it has nothing to do with welfare, but it has very much to do with create areas of artificial competitiveness by patents. Bon, I don't want to insist on that, but if you look to Microsoft, everyone knows that the soft of Microsoft is bullshit. simply bullshit. But and without the patents, all these softs will have been enormously increased. Okay, but because of the patents, you have this situation of Microsoft having a net revenue superior of the net revenue of 63 countries of the United Nations community. So this point cannot be escaped. Thank you.
Okay. Well, no, but
this is for lunch.